Good to be here, Lord. Come to you this evening. I don't know, maybe Robbie has time for me. You're almost just... and you can't put your hand on why. You don't know. You turn with me to Psalm 66. And we'll take one verse from there, verse number 10. Psalm 66, verse number 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. You may be seated. The thought that I had and been going on for weeks is dry spells. And I guess the reason that dry spells have come and times when you're pulling away from the Spirit is during times of sin. We know Jonah's a perfect example of that. When he decided just to be disobedient, he was going away from God. He got to spend a very dry time in the belly of a whale. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because right away, everybody that I believe sitting in this room knows whether you're in sin or not. It's that simple.
Sure.
You know whether you're in obedience to the Spirit or not. I can sit up here and pass and thunder on sin for quite some time, but you know where you're at.
Right.
The thing that I would bring out about Jonah, and the one thing that sometimes we may not see, that when Jonah was in his disobedience, when he was in sin, when he was not following where God had him, that it just didn't affect his life, but it affected everybody who was around him. And sometimes we think our sin is just like dropping a rock in the water, and we don't realize that the waves just keep going out and getting wider and wider. And the disobedience and the sin that we have affects a lot of folks around us. And if that's why you feel uncomfortable, if that's why you're in a dry place, if that's why you can't move anymore, it seems like when you go to pray, there just ain't nothing to pray, then get rid of the sin. A couple of weeks ago, Robbie handled that just about as good as anybody could put it and as plain as it can be. Just get rid of it. Stop the sin. You got to make the decision. You got to turn. But what about when you really are trying and you're really having a time and it seems like the Spirit of God is so far from you? It seems like the heavens are just shut up. And you don't know what. You begin to look through your life and you try to find what's wrong. You try to find what's going on. But really, without you just making up some kind of a sin and putting yourself in it, you can't figure out why it is so dry. And like that song that Sarah sang so much, first thing we do when we get in this dry space is we start to go backwards. We want to look back and say, well, it was better back there than stepping out into this new territory, than trying to get closer to God, than trying to call closer to His Spirit, because life was so good back then. But the song is right. It's more about our comfort. But God's people should never be comfortable in where they're sitting. We should continually be ready to move with the Spirit when the Spirit moves. And sometimes I believe, this is my belief, others may totally disagree, I cannot find no Bible that tells me that Satan can put me in a dry place. So if Satan can't put me in a dry place, it must come from the Father. Whoa, that's something that almost sounds like heresy. You mean God would have me drawn out of my happiness? I read where Jesus says, and everybody in the New Testament says, let your joy be turned to sorrow, but we refuse, and therefore, because I cannot let my
my joy be turned to sorrow. I cannot cry with those who are hurting. I can't feel your pain when you're without it. I can't get into the loneliness when you're lonely, because I refuse to come off of my mountain. I refuse to go into a dry place.
Well, then at that point, I have to turn and walk away from everything that God has, for everything that God has shown us. If it's God who is putting you in this dry place, there is a reason. Maybe we need to go to Him rather than to go to music and stuff to try to pull us out. Why am I here? Why am I in this dry place? I don't know. There's so many faces that has been before me this past week. But can I tell you that in every dry place, there is a reason that God has you walking that way. There is a reason for you to be there. The reason God puts us in a dry place is so that we can begin to learn from Him. Every single time somebody comes into a dry place, they walk away with the promise of God. A new revelation of God. It's in your dry places. It's on dry ground is where you will defeat your enemy. Israel, when they were faced at the Red Sea, Moses told them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The salvation, that's the catching away, that's the deliverance of God. But yet, what did they see? Did God just scoop them up and drop them over here on the other side of the sea? Absolutely not. What God opened up to them in the middle of their despair, when they had nowhere to turn, what God opened up to them was nothing but a dry path. He said, you shall go over on dry ground. And it's in the dry ground that was what was between them and their promise. There was no other way around it. They had to go through on the dry ground. But friends, let me tell you what, thanks be to God that it was also in the middle of their dry ground is where their enemy was swallowed up by the waters of God. I wish I could tell you that every dry place that you walk into is going to be short-lived. But I can't tell you that. We have a habit of when we're reading through the Scripture and we see what these people are going through, with the turn of the page, they're delivered, and therefore we think in our mind that our deliverance should come as quick as the turn of the page. It don't always happen that way. We can read Job and think, well, boy, in a month, he really went through a whole lot. But I think Job's captivity went just a little bit longer than a month. We see the children of Israel, where they had to be brutal. Let me give you a couple verses in Judges chapter 2. He told them, he said, through talking about the things that he had, through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it, as their fathers did keep it or not. In Deuteronomy he also says, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or no. And the same plays out, and I could give you scripture after scripture in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, in Numbers, in Judges, in Psalm. Time and time again, God has said that you're put in this place so that you can be proved on the things that you know, and to see if you're going to hang on to what God has told you and the promises that He gave you. But I'll tell you something, sis. The first thing that we forfeit when we run into a place is we forfeit the promises of God. We lay them down. We forget that He's ever told us that. We just forfeit it over, give it over to Satan. Now let me tell you, Satan will come in your dry place. That's his time to test you. That's his time to put it to you. But a test is simply that. A test is a simple fact of something that if I study hard enough, I can pass the test. When you hit your dry place, don't take the promises that God has given you and just toss them away and say they'll never come to pass. What if the children of Israel run down in the middle of the sea and say, well, this ain't the promised land. I guess we'll just stand here and drown. What do you mean, Moses, we got to walk? And then as they started to walk,
Everything they wanted, God provided.
And I can look around and say, we're probably not in want in this sanctuary tonight. We've all got more than our share. And it would become like the children of Israel, where they said, wasn't it better back there? Have you ever thought about really what they said in their bondage? They're in a dry place going to their promise, but what did they see? They didn't see the promises and the possibility of God. They tossed them away for free labor. I would rather work for nothing and eat some leeks and have them beat me on my back than walk into a new territory and try to figure out what the promises of God is and how much He can bless me. That don't even make sense to say something like that, does it? But if we're not careful, when we hit a tough place, we'll begin to think that God has forsaken us. But it's on the other side of that promise. Don't look back. Those things were shut off. I believe when they got up there and that last person turned around and looked, and the sea just overcame. The path to the bondage was washed away and the enemy therein. And they looked down on the bank and seen all of the weapons of the enemy was washed up on the shore. And how many times have you got on the backside of your trial and your temptation only to see that's where Satan was. That's what he used against me. I fell for that. And you see all of the weapons of the enemy washed up. And you ought to gather them up and say, from here on out, I'll use them enemies. Use them for exactly what they are. And that's a lesson so I can pass the next test. Elijah, he had one of the greatest revivals, one of the greatest showings of God that we could imagine. God called to the test. God showed up to do it. And then because some words, and I don't say that he let some old woman run him off and run him into the wilderness. I'll tell you what, words from folks can hurt you deeper than any punch can in the end. You let Rob come in and give everybody the cold shoulder one day. See how much you like it. Let David do it. Let me do it. Let somebody do it. Let somebody just reject you. Don't even got to say nothing how you feel. All of a sudden feel like you don't belong. And you go straight to a dry place. And Elijah went and he got up underneath his juniper tree. And the Lord had him a little brook there. And he was satisfied just to stay over here. And him. And nobody understood. Nobody liked him. There was nobody else serving God the way he was serving God. Nobody. And he stood in his little place till God even dried that up. And Elijah goes out and he goes to a cave. And one thing, that I guess that's in chapter 17. 19, I guess it is. Chapter 19 of Kings. First Kings, chapter 19. Let's pick up in verse number 8. It says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights to Oreb, the mount of God. And he came thither into the cave and lodged there. That's something else right there by itself. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and the children of Israel has forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind. That's one thing when we read so many times that we miss it. We're so focused on the great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So many times we read that and we see all these catastrophes happening, but we don't realize that the whole reason the catastrophes happen is because the Lord passed by in the middle of his dry time. He's getting ready to come out to his promise and get a revelation, a deeper revelation than what God ever was. And I know we
We use that and we preach that a whole lot to say, God ain't always in all the big things, but can I tell you what? God is in everything that I do. I have that kind of faith. If He is with you always, Brother Rick, He'll be with you in your big thing and He'll be with you in your little thing. Well, what are you saying about the Scripture? I'll tell you what I'm saying about the Scripture is simply this. There's some miraculous power when God passes by and you're going to see some things happen, but you can't live in the miraculous. You can't stay with the service that you had 2 weeks ago. You got to have one thing that is more important than rocks breaking, than wind blowing, and fire coming down. Elisha has seen all of this, but he needed something a little bit more. He needed a still, small voice. And God was letting him know right then and there, in the middle of his dry place, your promise is this. Your promise is that I'm going to come to you and I'm going to speak to you. Elijah, all through his life, was used to God speaking through miraculous happen. He said, don't rain, it don't rain. He called out fire, it come down. Whatever he asked for, he did. But at this, God's telling him, I'm much more than just a miracle. I'm much more than just a miraculous. I'm here to be spoken to. And you know, what is amazing is here you have Elijah, who is a shouting, fire-preaching prophet. He goes into a cave, and God brings him out of the cave and talks to him in a little, small voice. You got Moses, who is a quiet, meek man. God takes him up to the mountain, sticks him in the cave and comes by and tells him to come out. When you try to coin how God is going to move on one particular person, you can't do that. You can't discount one thing for the other. God is going to deal with each person in their own way. He's going to deal with you in His own way that you'll be able to get a hold of Him and know for certain that He has spoken and you're on the path. Whether it may be dry, it may not be dry, it may be rough to walk in, it may not be rough to walk in, but I'm telling you, in your dry place is simply that. That's where your dry place is. But know that the reason that God puts us in a dry place is so that He can perfect us. You got a promise coming. You got a deeper revelation coming. Has anybody here heard of T. Austin Sparks? Watchman Nee? Witness Lee? Awesome men of God. Got a revelation of God like you would not believe. I mean, to death. Here, sometimes when I read his stuff, brother, I'm like Peter by Paul. What he says is hard to understand. And this man is walking in such victory. And you know what happened to Watchman Lee? He got put in prison for his faith for 20 years. But he said, it's okay. I figured Apostle Paul served time in jail too. He had his dry place, but he got his revelation. You're going to go into some dry places. There's going to be some spells. Look, how do you think the disciples, you think they didn't go into a dry place when Jesus was crucified? When the Lord of glory, the one that they loved, when He was crucified and He was gone? It would be hard to not know what's going to happen next. And God understands that when you don't know what's going to happen next, it's hard for you to hang on in that dry places. That's why He gives you promises of tomorrow. He understands that. The disciples sat down and they were praying and they were seeking and wondering, what are we going to do now? Where do we go now? And then they heard a little bit of news. Somebody come and said something. In the middle of their dry place, sir, you know what they heard? He's alive! And they got all excited. But He didn't show up when they thought He would. He's supposed to come and we're supposed to have a kingdom. So we'll go right back into the dry place, right? And in the middle of the dry place, Peter don't know what else to do, so what's Peter do? I'm going fishing. All the rest of them, I'm coming with you. We're going back to our same old lives. We're going to do the same old thing. We had a promise, but who knows about the promise? And it's in the middle of that dryness, and they're doing their everyday thing, and about to give up on the promise, when they hear something from way over on the bank.
Lads, have you any fish? And if I think the Gospels are right, Peter looks at John and goes, it's the Lord. Peter immediately jumps overboard and swims. He didn't say, boys, paddle. If nobody else makes it to Jesus, I'm going to. I'm tired of where I've been. I'm going there. I've got to see the Master because I have a promise. I've been through the dry long enough. I've walked it. I've heard it. I've prayed about it. Now I'm ready to receive the goodness of God. And there's no boat, no water, nothing else getting in between me. And I don't know how many. I would suppose the other 11 was on there or the other 10 was on there rowing with all their might. But Peter still got there first because when they get to the bank, Peter's sitting down next to Jesus and they got fish cooking. Now, I don't know about you, but that's some swimming. But should I be surprised? Because I know of another prophet who went through a dry space, and right before he hit his dry spell, he outrun a gang of horses. When God counts us worthy to go in to that place of instruction, we need not to kick and fight against it so much. But what if the dry spell would be just a little bit shorter, Brother Rick, if I would not kick and fight so much, but see what I could learn when I entered into it? Because there's no temptation taking you, which is what? Common to man? You can't say that about my problem. My problem is my problem. It ain't common to nobody. But the Bible says it's common. But with everyone, there's made what? A way of escape. What if instead of trying to fight against it, you said, God, what are you trying to show me? Now again, this is all void if you know you're living in sin. If you know you're sinning against God, how do I know that? You tell me. Whatever you do, you know the prick. You know what it is that God does. You know what God tells you, no matter how big or how light it is. Is the little light touching of God saying, Debbie, that's wrong? Is that lighter than when He grabs me and shakes me violently and says, don't do that? It's both the same. Which would you rather have? There's some children that you can speak to and they'll obey. There's other children, you have to show them what the obedience is. Wouldn't you rather be the child that when the still small one, I don't know about Elijah, but I believe that he would have come on down that mountain and he learned one thing. I can either listen to the still small voice, or I can get the earthquake, the fire, and the wind. How do you want God to come to you? Now, when you come to God, and we need to get out of our mind that if this deeper walk with God is going to cost us, I'm not sure I want it because what's in it for me? If I get closer to God and I spend extra time in prayer and I get a little bit further in God and I want to learn more about His Word and I desire to study His Word and I need to see the history of the Scriptures and I need to know where He's at and everything and I need to know what's going on and I need to see all of this. If I'm going to do that, then what's in it for me? Because they got to be something, because you're telling me that if I get this close in all of this and I start to seek God more, I'm going to face bigger devils. I'm going to face obstacles in my way. Some of my happiness is going to be taken away. Some of my problems are going to get bigger. I'm going to have to witness a little more. And I just want to know what's in it for me. What is in it? Can I tell you, we may never know until we get to heaven. What's in it for me? How about what's in it for Jesus? And when you start to pull what's in it for Jesus, then He can use you in different instances. How many of you are tired of witnessing and witnessing and witnessing and not seeing people coming to the Lord or coming to church?
don't you get tired of constantly having people say, oh, Jonah, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there, and never show up? You mean if we get closer to God that might change? Yeah, it might. Am I guaranteeing it? Absolutely not. I don't have a guarantee on what God does. You get closer to God so that you know how to handle life's battles a little bit more when they rise up. But as long as you're looking out to see what's in it for you, you will never see the clarity of getting closer to God. It will never appeal to you. And look, I don't want you to think I'm getting on you. It's not your fault. Our society and our generation and our American ways has taught us to seek out what's in it for me. Not what's in it for the good of somebody else. Matter of fact, I guess if Lowe's was going to hire you, Kelly, and they said, we're going to hire you, but you're going to work for Terry so he can stay home. If you ain't getting no money, he's getting it. Well, you jump at that chance, wouldn't you? But we have to realize that it might be a little different if I couldn't work. I mean, I'd like to think that y'all would help me out. If I was crippled and I couldn't work and we needed money, that folks would come and help cut the grass and do the stuff to be done. I know there's a lot of jokes in there, brother. But I'd like to think that isn't that what we would do? Especially if it was one of our loved ones? If Eric was out on his own and he couldn't work, Vicky'd see to it he's taken care of. Can I tell you, there's a whole world of people out there that need something we got, and they don't know how to get it, and don't have no way of getting it other than from you? You've got what they need. And getting more and more in God. Well, what if they ask you a question, brother, you can't answer? Do we have to have all the answers? I tell you what, there have been a lot of people ask me questions I can't answer. If I could answer them all, I'd be your God. You don't want that. You want something a little better than that, I promise. So when we go into our dry places, we need to realize that it is there in that time that, again, if we're not in sin, it is in that time when the Lord is getting ready to either deliver us into a promise, deliver us into a greater and deeper relationship with Him, a revelation of His Word. Something is getting ready to come because God just don't put you there for no reason. You're put there to see if you will seek Him. In that time, Jesus, was He led into the wilderness by Satan? Here He has a great victory. He comes down the road and looks down and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And the dove comes down and lights on His shoulder. This is My beloved Son, who I am well pleased. Everybody heard it. And straight away, Jesus was pulled away by Satan into the wilderness. Is that what the Scripture says? Mm-hmm. He was led in the Spirit into the wilderness. Amen. For what reason? To be tempted. That don't make sense, does it? They don't tell us this on the test. That we're actually going to be in a place where temptations are going to come. But what weapon did Jesus use to win over His temptation? The Word. The same thing that you have. And here's the good thing. As soon as His temptation was over, as soon as He defeated His enemy with the Word, it tells us and declares to us that the angels came and ministered unto Him. Amen. Hold on. Keep giving your word out that God has given you. Don't let Satan nail your tongue to the roof of your mouth. And praise God, even in the dry places, and know that it's coming and the angels will come and minister to you. It's every single time in the Scripture that somebody has needed God. Who showed up? God shows up. Look at the captivity of Job that was turned around and he ended up with twice as much as what he had in the beginning. Look at Jesus. He ends up alive and 12 men changes the world. Look at Daniel because he refused to bow. He refused to not give up his prayer life because because somebody didn't like it. He hung in there. Sure, he had to face some lines. I'm sure that he didn't have no great big idea of what was going to happen when he went in there. But one thing, just like the Hebrew boys, they said, I'll tell you what, old king, one thing for sure, I don't know whether God's going to deliver me. I don't know whether he will. I don't know whether he won't. But I'll tell you this, after today, you're going to be a different man, and so will we. And you got a heathen who don't even know what God looked like. Now, up to that point, think about that in Daniel. No one had seen God. No one had seen Jesus. What did that king look over in there and see? He said, now wait a minute. That fourth one, he's like the Son of God. He didn't even claim that God. He didn't know that God. But in the middle, I guess in the middle of a furnace, it'd be dry. And in the middle of that, somebody was witness to, and when they come out of the furnace, things was a little bit different in that town. And a matter of fact, his accusers were the ones that ended up on the wrong end of their own law. Folks, we're going to go through some stuff. And I see, I tell you, I see in the future, more of you that are sitting in this sanctuary, as I look in your faces, and you desire a closer walk with God, you want to go into places that you've only heard about and haven't seen. You want to go into a depth of God that the mercies has only been barely felt. You want to into the deeper things, into the richer knowledge, and into the miracle working power of God. You want that. You want to understand God. And with that, it's going to come some dry places. But when you hit those dry places, that don't mean you made a wrong turn. Wait on God. He's not just going to come pouring everything out. We have to be able to handle and be ready for the knowledge that He's going to give us in the instant. And you'll see some things. You'll get some revelation on the Word. It takes time. Are you willing to go through the dry ground to get to the promise? Are you willing to wait it out? I'm telling you, in a dry place that God put you in, Amy, I can't preach you out. Debbie can't sing you out. Robbie can't counsel you out. Nobody can get you out. God has to. Because He knows when Rick is perfected. Can we wait for that? Can we go in to that place, still hear the Word, still accept the Word, still take it in, and know that God is with us? Instead of thinking, look, I know it's been a popular Christian thing, especially from my background, to say, the devil stole my joy. He can't do that, folks. If he could steal it, he'd have taken it away from the day you got saved, and you wouldn't get it back. But sometimes we go through life changes, and we wonder where our joy is, when instead of accusing the devil and trying to cast out devil, we need to call on God. And we need to ask God what's going on. He's the one running your life, not Satan. Satan can't run roughshod over top of us. He can't. He don't have that ability. God has given us the strength and the power through the Holy Spirit that we can overcome these things with leaps and bounds. And sometimes in the middle of your rough time, you got to remind yourself of that, who you are. I tell you, the next one I hit, I'm going to find me some brothers and sisters, and I'm just going to tell you this as simple as I can. I'm going to come and say, brother, let me tell you something. I need to be uplifted. I need you to lift me up. And the Bible instructs me, if I just want to put my head down and bawl, I need somebody to bawl with me. We're going to have to do that one to another. Because look, if we get to where we're singled out, we're easy prey for the enemy. But if I know, at least you're on my side. Carter's on my side. Robbie's on my side. Debbie's on my side. Cheryl's on my side. I ain't alone. Who in here would think somebody's weak? By show of hands, I know it's an uncomfortable question, but you know, sometimes those things happen. We're family here, right?
Who, by a show of hands, if somebody come to you and they were going through a dry spell and they needed to be uplifted, or they just cry and did not feel like they belong, would you think that they were less spiritual? Let me see your hand. So see, nobody would think that about you. That's a lie straight from your flesh and Satan telling you, don't tell them that. They're going to think you're less spiritual. They're going to think you're in sin. He don't want you to get any help. He would rather buffet you over in the corner all by yourself. And it's hard. It kills our pride for us to go ask for help. I say amen to that. It is. But it's in the middle of that dry place. It's in the middle of that dry place. When you realize it's God who's got me there. And it's God who's going to deliver me something greater. Joan's been praying for an answer on something. I don't know when it's going to come. But I see that road, Joan, and I thought of you. I thought, Lord, how long? I know it's been about a year, maybe longer. How long before she has to wait? That's between me and her. God, you keep my nose out of it. You just encourage her on the road and let you know that he still hears that prayer and he ain't forgotten. Sometimes it gets a little weary, don't it, sis? You think, is it ever going to come? I prayed about stuff. I thought, is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to come? Can it? I know God can do that for Rick and for Vicky, but can he do it for me and Cheryl? Would he do it for me and Cheryl? Yes, he would, but it must be his will. So folks, when you enter your dry spell, when you enter that dry place, let it teach us that it's not our feelings. Yes, it is better felt than told. I'll be the first to tell you. Ain't nothing I like better than a shout. Ain't nothing I like better than bawling when I feel the Spirit of the Lord all over me, getting them chills run up and down my back. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
It just gets me feeling good. But that's not the only place God is in. He's not just in all the earthquakes and the fire and the wind. Sometimes he's in a still small voice. Wherever he's leading you, he says he's walked before. Yeah. I got some good scripture here if somebody wants to, if you want to look at it. But folks, rest assured, every single one here who desires to go deeper in God, you're going to hit some dry time. That's the only way he can teach you. If John hadn't went to the Isle of Patmos, if he was staying in the church, he may not never wrote the book of Revelation. And we would never have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't go to prison. He kept traveling. He wouldn't have wrote the letters if he hadn't a word today. We can look and see all the things on the backside through these people of what happened so that we could have what we have today. Let's remember, everything that we have, what did it say? Those roads are closed behind us. Learn from them. Let's move on.
Church, say what?
Amen.
Wonder at this time if anybody have anything to leave in the service tonight.
Rob, I want to thank the Lord for your night through the curious. When he read in Psalms, it just kept making me. When I worked.